And that spirit, in verse 11, mortify our mortal body and gives energy and life to us. Energizing. And that's the energizing that takes place. So somehow, although in this book it looks like Paul sharing his personal testimony, there is a teaching that flows forth, hidden by the Holy Spirit, on how to live under grace and not under law. By law, we are talking about Moses' law. Galatians chapter 1, Paul speaks about his own life. And there are other simple teaching there, like verse 8, when he says that even if we or an angel of heaven preach any other gospel, the word any other is from the word heteros, and not the word alos, which means the same kind, but another of a different kind of gospel. All these are simple teaching. To show for the difference between the wrong doctrines and the gospel of Jesus Christ. But let's look here at Galatians chapter 1. And Paul says here in verse 12, he talked about the special gospel he received. For I neither received it from men, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Ye have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. In case you're interested, Paul excelled so much in Judaism that he possibly was one of the Sanhedrin. There are strong evidences for that. Because in Acts chapter 26, when he shared his testimony, he says, I cast my vote against the Christians. Now, the casting of vote was only done by members of the Sanhedrin Council in Jerusalem in those olden days. And according to Jewish custom and tradition, unless Paul was an exceptional case, which most unlikely, the members are usually 30 years and above. Because the age of 30 was the year that they admitted people into the priesthood. It was a Bible year from the book of Numbers. And so even if Paul was a young member or new member, at least at his younger state, which I say is most unlikely, possibly is in his middle 30s or late 30s, but let's say put him on a younger stage so that most of you can identify with him. Let's say he was just 30 when he persecuted the church and he casted his vote straight away. That was AD 35. At his youngest, he was 30. In AD 45, how old is he? 40. So Paul, that's to give encouragement for those of you who started late. I say, oh no, I'm now 40. What am I going to do? Oh no, I'm now 50. Half a century has passed by. You're not half a century old. And they feel really old. But wait a minute, look at the Apostle Paul. AD 45, he was at the most, at the least, 40. Which I say is most unlikely because most probably he's in his middle 30s or even late 40s. When he was a member. Very few people get to join the Sanhedrin at a very young age. It will be almost like in some places where it's all octogenarian, right? In the 80s that you get into the top leadership. But here's the Sanhedrin Council. So maybe he was 40. That will mean when he started his missionary journey in AD 45, he could be 50 years old. Hallelujah. Doesn't that give encouragement? Praise the Lord. Right? Because some people always quote Old Testament, Moses was 80 when he started, They forgot that Paul also was very old. If you're moving young, he will be 40 by that time. Right? Now, if you put him going back after 14 years, on that time that would be about 14 plus the 3 years in Arabia, that would be 17 years, 17 years plus 30, he would be 47. When he saw Peter the second time, at his youngest. If he were 40, he would have been 57. Wow! Isn't he a man of energy? There he was, preaching in Acts 19 for day and night for 2 years in the school of Tyrannus. Praise God. We actually have a tape called Meanings of Bible Ages, where we study the age 12, the age 17, the age 20, the age 30, and all the Bible, important ages in the Bible and what they mean. And we shared about how most people die off about, you know, in their 50s because they lack purpose. And and when they retire, they go off, they got nothing else to do, so, you know, just go home. But those who got... those who have something to do, they somehow find the purpose to live on. And we talk about how we need to understand the truth that, and how at 70 is a new beginning. And 80 is just getting started. If you could go into the second round, second phase. I mean, just look at Lester Sangrail. That man is still going on. And Noah Hayes says, when Noah Hayes was with a young man says, you know, how old is Lester Sangrail? And Noah says, I don't know, but he's just getting started. Praise God. This encouragement. Now here, Paul excelled above all his contemporaries, and he reached the highest peak, and he says he advanced above them. Then suddenly he says here in verse 15, a statement which astounds us. He says, it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Paul said he had a call of God even when he was in his mother's womb. Isn't that puzzling? He was not even born again and God has his hand on his life. What actually happened? I believe that when Paul was born, maybe his mother was a very devoted Jew, so was his father. And they said, this child must be a rabbi. This child must be dedicated to God. And even when he was in the womb, they may have dedicated the child to God. And when Paul was born, and later when he was growing, he must have been brought to Gamaliel. And we are told in his testimony in Acts that he was brought up at Gamaliel's feet. And he was being trained in all the ways of a rabbi to serve God. But the only thing was that he was called, but he didn't know how to fulfill his call. Like Moses, who tried to rescue the Israelites by the might of his hand, and he had to flee to the wilderness for 40 years. So Paul tried to serve God. And he says here, he thought he was serving God. When he was persecuting the Christians, he thought he was serving God. There we have it in Acts 22, verse 3, I said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you all are today. So, although he did a lot of cruel things, he did it because he thought that the Christians were heretics. And he was doing God a favor by getting rid of them in Acts 9. His heart was actually right, but his head was wrong. If your heart is right, your head is wrong, it's a dangerous combination. Still, we all know that the end never justifies the means. And the heart cannot justify your head. In that sense, our head must be renewed. But here is the powerful statement he made in verse 16. Finally, it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. When you study the book of Galatians, prepositions are important. He didn't say he revealed his son to me. Look carefully. He says he revealed his son in me. It has been said that in a Christian world, in faith, it's your senses and your tenses that defeat you. But it's also our supposition, presumption, and prepositions that defeat us. Just seeing the in to two makes a lot of difference. Paul was actually giving a revelation of Jesus Christ coming into his life. That makes the difference. Now, is there a difference between me showing something to you and putting something in you? Of course there is. Is there a difference between me showing you a nice food in front of you? What food got nice flavor? Let me think. No durians, right? So, Penang fried kway teow. Okay. There it goes. Is there a difference between me showing you the food, passing by, and putting it into your mouth? There is. And that's what makes the difference in the energizing. Jesus didn't just reveal himself to Paul. He revealed himself in me, he says. That I might preach among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. Now the rest of the part we have covered in historical study. So go to chapter 2 now. He continues his emphasis on Jesus being in him and energizing in him in verse 8. For he who energized effectively, not to Peter, but in Peter, for the apostleship to the circumcised, also energized effectively in me toward the Gentiles. In other words, he's now seeing himself as Jesus in him coming out to the Gentiles. Not him, but Jesus. Now here is his key verse in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. But wait a minute. The prepositions are wrong here. The Greek says, I've been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in the Son of God, faith of the Son of God. He is not talking about his own faith. He's talking about Jesus' faith being placed in his life. Now there is a difference between having faith in God and having the faith of God. There is a difference between having faith in Jesus, which we all need to. We need to believe in Him. And having the faith of Jesus Christ. There is a difference. Talking in an illustrative sense, let's say one of the ministers here, and as they travel to minister with me, let's say, and he ministers with me, and he has faith in me. And if I say, look, he's not going to be having faith in me as a minister, but it's going to be my faith in you. It's going to be the faith of Peter Tan in you. What does that mean? It means all the faith that I have developed since I entered the ministry in 1976 up to 1992, the faith that I have grown in different areas is placed in you in a few seconds, and you got about 15 years of faith inside. There is a difference. I'm illustrating a point. That when the faith of Jesus Christ enter into us, All the faith that he exercised in his 3 years on earth and in his other 30 years before he entered the ministry, all he developed in his faith that he grew in, that he established, that he took authority over demons, over sicknesses, over diseases, that he did all his signs and wonders, and he took all that faith he has and placed it in us, in a moment of time, you have exactly the same thing. But that faith of Jesus comes into us by measures. By measures.